you take advantage of that time that will be given and respond to the Lord before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Tonight we want to look at a lesson that hopefully will help all of us as we continue to keep in the forefronts of our mind of what our mission is all about here as members of the body of Christ. And that is sharing the good news of the gospel with the lost and with the dying world. In Acts chapter 8, there are some passages there that we want to read tonight as we begin our study together. It has to do with the early Christians being driven out of Jerusalem because of persecution, but they did not let this stop them or deter them from what their mission was all about. In Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Saul," this is the same person as Paul before he became a Christian, "and Saul was consenting unto his death." They had just killed or just stoned Stephen to death. And the Bible says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him." That is, they mourned greatly, or grieved greatly over him. "As for Saul," verse 3 says, "he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and haling men and women, committing them to prison." Verse 4, "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." These Christians, as I've said, of course, at that point in time, they had not been given the name Christian. That wouldn't happen until Acts chapter 11, some years later. But these disciples, even though they were persecuted and driven out of Jerusalem, they did not forget what their mission was all about. And as the body of Christ tonight, we here at Northwest, we must always be busy carrying out God's plan to reach the lost. Paul said something in Ephesians chapter 3, as he was inspired to write to the church at Ephesus, that it was through the church that the manifold wisdom of God is to be made known. If we could look at those passages, we'll notice what he says as he writes to the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 3, look at what the Bible says. As Paul writes, he says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Christ, or by Jesus Christ." And verse 10 says this, "To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Paul says that it was God's intent, it was God's plan, that his wisdom his manifold wisdom, his many-faceted wisdom, be made known by the church to the entire world. It is the church's responsibility then to let the world know what God would have them to do to be saved. All of us then here tonight, not only all of us here, but all churches of Christ everywhere need to realize what an awesome responsibility is that we have in making this a reality. Just imagine with me, if you will, this evening, the kind of growth that the Lord's church could have if every Christian could convert just one additional Christian. Can't you see how the Lord's church would grow? Just look at us here. If every one of us would convert at least one Christian per year, what a great number we would have in just a few years. Multiply that, if you will, all over the world where Christians are. What a great work would be done for the cause of Christ. So as we talk about then what our mission is and talk about this thing of evangelism, to help us to be more effective, let us be encouraged to commit ourselves, as our title says tonight, to 4 P's of evangelism. We talked about some principles of evangelism even before now, and we just want to add these on to it as we call these 4 P's of evangelism. Number one, we ought to commit ourselves to pray for God to open some doors for us. We ought to be a prayerful people for God to open some doors. Not just for his protection for us, not just for his provision for us, but also for some doors of opportunity to be opened unto us. Paul exhorted the Colossian Christians to do the same thing, the very same thing, to pray for some open doors. In Colossians chapter 4, as he writes to the church there, verses 2 and 3, look at what he says, if you will. The Bible says, as he writes, he says, continue in prayer and watching the same thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would do what? Open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond. Paul was a prisoner, and even in prison, Paul says, y'all pray for me that I might have an opportunity to speak to somebody, and that somebody will listen and be receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. How often do we pray for opportunities to preach or to teach someone, or for someone's heart to be open and receptive? We ought to be concerned then about God opening doors for us. So we pray for an open door. And not only do we pray for an open door, but we also pray for the souls that God might be able to save them. Again, as we say from time to time, and as we know so well, that God will not save people unless they want to be saved. So we need to pray then that people will want to be saved. I remember Paul even prayed a prayer in Romans chapter 10. He said, brother, my heart desires prayer to God for Israel ills, that they might be saved. Paul was praying for people that they might have, if you will, some receptive heart to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, because God would have all men to be saved, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we ought to be a people that pray for some open doors. And then when God opened the doors for us, we tonight need to be ready to access those doors. Excuse me, to access those doors or to walk through those doors. It does God no good to open the doors if we're not going to be ready to walk through the doors. All right. What do I mean by being ready to take advantage or to access the doors? We need to prepare ourselves with the gospel of Jesus Christ to be able to share it, to be able to give an answer, to be able to instruct people as to what they need to do to be saved. If the question was asked tonight, what must I do to be saved? Could we all tell them? We should be able to tell them. If not, then we're in the same boat that the Hebrew Christians were in. We have a need for someone to teach us again what be the first principle of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed. Peter even said it like this in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Look at what the Bible says. He said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. How often? Always. To give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Why are you a member of the Church of Christ? Why do you go to church every Sunday? Why do you sing without mechanical instruments of music? Why do you partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? Why do you do these things? We ought to be able to give them an answer. What does the Lord want me to do to be saved? What do I need to do to obey the gospel of it? We need to be ready to give an answer. God will open the door, but if we can't really access the door, then we'll not have any success in winning a person to Christ. Again, we are God's spokesman. We are God's mouthpiece to teach and to tell people what they are to do to be saved. So we need to be ready then. And I tell us tonight that the Lord will open some doors if we are prayerful. The Lord will open some doors. We need to be ready to access those doors. Paul, on one occasion, had an opportunity to walk through an open door with the gospel. In Acts chapter 16, look at this passage with us, if you will. In Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse number 11, look at what the Bible says here as Luke records. He says, therefore, loosened from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. And the Bible says, and from thence or from there to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city, abiding certain days. And the next verse says this, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And the next verse says this, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord did what? Open, that she attended to the things that we said, or the things that were spoken by Paul. Here is a lady whose heart was open, and Paul spoke to her. He, if you will, he took advantage of that open door. And I just have to believe that it was God who was working in the plan, if you will, because the Bible says that God opened her heart. She was receptive to what Paul said. And when we pray for God to open some doors, and again, when he opened those doors, then we need to be ready to speak unto these people what the word of the Lord says. And if their hearts are open, they will give attendance just like Lydia. And you know what? Lydia obeyed the gospel. Paul got ready to go, and she wanted to constrain him to stay with them. And he did stay for a few days. But it was all because she had an open door. Or had an open heart. And it was God, the Bible says, that opened her heart. And I'm saying again tonight that God will open some doors for us if we're prayerful people. But we got to be ready to open or to access those doors. So, number one, pray for an open door. Then number two, proclaim the goodness of God along with the message of God. We need to be people who will proclaim the goodness of God along with the message of God, or the message of salvation. And you know, we have been chosen for that purpose, to proclaim the goodness of God. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Peter, as he writes to the Christian there, he says, but you are a chosen generation. God has chosen you, he said. You are a royal priesthood and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. To show forth his praises simply is another way of saying proclaim the goodness of God in your life. God has chosen us for that. Who else can proclaim or show forth the goodness of God if they haven't been chosen by God? Only the chosen people can show forth the goodness of God in their lives. No wonder the psalmist says in the long ago in Psalm 107, as he writes to Israel, God's chosen people. In Psalm 107, look at the Bible says, over there in verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse number 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord. Who are the redeemed of the Lord? Christians. In Israel, they, of course, it was Israel. But in spiritual Israel, which we are now, spiritual Israel, in our day, the redeemed of the Lord are Christians. So he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. What enemy has he redeemed us from? Satan. He has redeemed us from the hands of Satan. And we ought to be thankful tonight that we have been redeemed. And so we sing the song from time to time, I am redeemed. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be redeemed. And if we really realize and appreciate the fact that we have been redeemed, then we ought to be about the business of proclaiming the goodness of the Lord and redeeming us from the hand of the enemy. I said we ought to proclaim the goodness. If I can go back to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, that Brother Stone has been working with this past quarter in the Sunday school. Go back to Luke with me, if you will, and let's notice something there as we talk about the goodness and proclaiming the goodness of the Lord. In Luke chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, we'll find here a man who had been healed, if you will, who had a multiplicity of devils. And the Lord healed him. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away. That seemed to be sort of a strange thing, doesn't it? Here's a man wanting to stay with Jesus, but Jesus turned around and sent him away. But you notice what he sent him away for. And the next verse says, what? Return to thine own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. I want to stay with you. You cast these devils out of me. I'm not closed in my right mind. I don't have to live among the tombs anymore. I don't have to cut myself. I'm not bound with chains any longer. I want to stay with you, Lord. Oh, the Lord says, no, you go back home. And you proclaim, you talk about all the good things that have happened to you. I equate this sometimes, Brother Charles, that sometimes all we want to do is just stay at church. If you know what I mean. Stay at church and have a good time. God wants us to, yes, to be at church, if you will. But there come a time when we got to leave church. And we got to get out here and proclaim and talk about the goodness of God in our lives. And again, share the message of the gospel. We can't hang around the church all the time. All right. We enter here to worship, but we depart to serve. This man wanted to stay with you. Jesus said, no, I don't want you to stay with me. You go back home. And I want you to do what? Show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published or proclaimed throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. We ought to be a people. Yes, we come to worship, yes. We enjoy being around one another, yes. But there come a time and point in our lives when we need to depart, if you will, and talk about the goodness of God to somebody that don't know about the goodness of God. We know about the goodness of God, so we can't hang around ourselves. Well, it's good to be together. But we need to let somebody else know who don't know about the goodness of God. Proclaim what good things God has done for us. And as we proclaim those good things that God has done for us, perhaps that will hopefully open the doors of their heart, brother, I should say, that they will be able to listen now to the message of salvation. This good God you're talking about, this good Jesus that you're talking about, I'm ready to hear something about him now. What is his way for me? So now we can proclaim the message of salvation. Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we are to proclaim the goodness of God in our lives along with the message of salvation. Thirdly, tonight, as we strive to be effective in evangelism, We need to participate in good works. Participate in good works. Galatians 6:10, the Bible says, as you therefore have opportunity, do good unto all men, but especially, he says, the household of faith. We are to participate in good works. Why are we to participate in good works? Because that's what we are saved for. We are saved to do good works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, this is a familiar passage. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. When are we created in Christ Jesus? When we are born again. When we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. When he saves us from our sin. Then we are created in Christ Jesus. You remember, don't we all, what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So we are created in Christ Jesus. So then, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are saved for good works. Somebody said, well, I thought we were saved so that we can go to heaven. Yes, indeed, we are saved in order to go to heaven. But we're not in heaven yet. While we're here on earth, we're saved for good works. We need to be carrying out good works. We need to be participating in good works. And the good works that we participate in, God will get some glory. People will glorify God, will praise God for the good works we do. That's why Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples, as he was preparing them for the coming of the kingdom, for the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he said, told them to let their light so shine in Matthew 5 and verse 16, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The work of the church then should take top priority in our lives. We work not to be saved, but we work because we are saved. Because the works can't save us anyway. But because we are saved, because we have been redeemed, then we work because we are saved. It is an expression of our gratitude to God for saving us. If we are thankful then tonight that God has saved us, then we will be participating in some good work. So we pray for open doors. We proclaim the goodness of God along with the message of God. We participate in good works. And then fourthly and lastly tonight, we need to personally live morally good lives. I'm talking about four P's of evangelism. We need to personally live morally good lives. And that's why, as all of our studies and all of our coming together, they are all equally important, if you will. But just again, talking about what we're studying in the Wednesday night series, moral issues. That's why that's such an important study. Because people need to be able to know what God expects of them and what God requires of them so that they can live a morally good life. Because that's God's standard. And as I said in Wednesday night class, that God will not accept anything below his standard. You and I might accept some subpar stuff or some substandard stuff, but God will not accept anything below his standard. His standard is for us to live morally good lives. He has commanded us through the teaching of his word to live morally good lives. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says now, dearly beloved, he's writing to these Christians again. He said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain means to stay away from, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And the next verse says, having your conversation or your manner of life honest among the Gentiles. Now look at the results of having an honest life among the Gentiles. Look at this next. It says that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Abstain from fleshly lust. Let your conversation, let your manner of life be honest among the Gentiles.
Now, they're going to walk around, no doubt, and talk about you and say that you're evil folks. But they're just blowing off smoke, if you will. They're not telling the truth. They're saying that you're evil, but in reality, they know you're not evil. For in the day of God's visitation, he said, they're going to glorify God. They're going to say, in essence, those folks are all right anyway. So as I've said before, and others have said, if they say something evil about you, make sure they're just saying it. Make sure it's not true. So then we are to personally live a morally good life. God's grace, and we talked about this before, that a lot of times people love the saving part of God's grace, but they don't like a whole lot about the teaching part. But the same grace that saves us is the same grace that teaches us how to live. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and through 14, look at what the Bible says here. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us. Teaching us that denied ungodliness and worldly lusts, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And the next verse says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God's grace teaches us to live morally good lives. We are to shine as lights in a dark world. Philippians 2 and verse 15 teaches us that. People need to see their way home. They need to be able to see their way out of darkness. Our lives ought to be written epistles. Paul said something great about the Corinthian Christians in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. First three verses, he said something great about that church. Even this church that had problems. And I guess I don't know a church anywhere that don't have some kind of problem. Amen. But this church had problems, had a multitude of problems, but even in the midst of those problems, Paul said that they were epistles. Look at what he says, if you will. The Bible says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, our need, we as some others, epistles of commendation to you, our letters of commendation from you? The next verse says, ye are our epistle. You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. And I want to tell us, even tonight, that folks are reading us. They read either a good letter, or they read a bad letter. I wouldn't rather for them to read a good letter, wouldn't you? But Paul says, you are our epistles. Written, he says, in our hearts, known and read of all men. Verse 3, he says this. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. What a beautiful commendation to say about these Christians. There were some other Christians, as we close tonight, the Thessalonian Christians. And we talked about them when we were talking. Remember we did a lesson on role model Christians? We talked about them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at what Paul says there. Beginning at verse number 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. The Bible says, and ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God God is spread abroad, so that we need not to do what? Speak anything. Wouldn't it just be wonderful that if people wouldn't have to just say Jimmy Stone is a Christian, John Brent is a Christian, Andrew Tony is a Christian, they could just read it in our lives and in your lives. That's a Christian. Because I see them. They are manifesting by their lifestyle, this good moral lifestyle. They're, if you will, submitting themselves to the standards of God, living as God has directed for them to live. What a great commendation. I want to tell us again tonight that people need to know that we've been with Jesus, that we've experienced him, The Bible even said this about the apostles. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. The Bible says they noticed something about these men. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The people know you've been with Jesus. The people know I've been with Jesus. Or would they have to wonder? Would they have to question? Because of the lifestyle that we're living. So tonight as we close, may we have a constant ongoing effort reaching out to the lost with the message of the Lord in word, in deed, and in lifestyle. And so doing, we'll be showing the world that God's way is the best way. Pray for open doors. Proclaim the goodness of God along with the message of salvation. Participate in good works. Personally, live good moral lives. Four P's of evangelism. When we do that, I believe we'll be more effective. Win more souls to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're here then tonight, have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to know that God loves you. Jesus died for your sins. Buried in the heart of the earth, he rose again the third day, according to the believe in him then as the Son of God, repent of your past sins, confess your faith in Christ Jesus, then be baptized in the water of grace, baptism, the water of it. When you do that, the Lord will add you to this church. Become a member of this church and work out your soul's salvation. In other words, be faithful unto him. God will save you. You're here tonight, a member of the body of Christ, or maybe you've been falling short.